forget to bring your friends tomorrow night, which is my last night for this series. And don't forget to bring every point that you have, because on the prize table, there'll be things for 2 points, 5 points, and so forth. Nothing goes down in value. Aunt Ruth just puts out cheaper things. Now, I want to say to you, if you wound up or you wind up with a cheapie for this week, it's not my fault. It's your fault. It's just the principle of the Word of God. The more you do, the more you receive. And so some of you may only get a little, but everyone can get something, because there'll be things down there for 2 points or 10 points down in value. Okay, so eyes up front and no talking or whispering for the lesson for tonight. And tomorrow night, most of the questions will be on tonight's story. And if you have a question, I've got the wrong glasses on. If you have a question about tonight's story, or a question how you can be sure to get to heaven, you stay behind. I'll be glad to help you or one of the counselors here. Now, my lesson for tonight is going to begin in 2 Chronicles chapter 17. As we open up our Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 17, we will find out that the man we're going to talk about is Jehoshaphat. He was the son of King Asa, who was a godly king and did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Early in life, Jehoshaphat came to know God in a personal way. And when his father died, King Asa, King Jehoshaphat became the king. And right away, we read that he also was walking in the ways of the Lord. Now, when he took the throne, the very first thing that he wanted to do was to fortify himself against the kingdom of Israel, which was to the north. And so what he did is he put fortification particularly on the cities, or rather I should say, in the cities on the frontier. And then we find that not only did he do that to strengthen himself, not to start a war, no, but to be wise and be prepared if war came. And then the second thing that we find that he did is he ordered his men to go throughout the nation, throughout that kingdom of Judah, and to destroy all of the idolatry. There was much that was being done where they worshiped these idols that were made of stone or of wood or precious metals. And so he said what he wanted them to do was to destroy these idols, and many of them were still worshiping the golden calf. Also, many of them were having ceremonies in amongst the trees, and very sinful practices took place as they worshiped those idols there among the trees. And so we find that the order was given to destroy them. And those idols that were in the trees, they burned, and the others they knocked down, and they destroyed them. Now, among the things that they destroyed was also the high places. I will talk about that a little bit more tomorrow night. But you see, here we find that they had high places that were places where they worshiped. But many of these places that were high places, they did not worship idols. They were worshiping God. But the problem was this: they were going about it their way, not God's way. And so it is today in the world that we live. There's lots of high places, but it's not scripturally correct how people are gathering. You see, God, who also tells us in His Word how to get saved, is also the very same God that tells us how to worship. And so we need to follow the instructions of the Word of God. Now, it doesn't mean things are not going on for some of those people. It does mean this, that many of them know God, but they're not worshiping the way that God would have them do it. And so we find that Jehoshaphat had many of the high places destroyed as well. Then the next thing that we find out is that Jehoshaphat, he was very interested in the people getting back to the Word of God. And so he told his princes, his Levites, and his priests that what he wanted them to do was to go to the major cities and there preach the Word of God. Here was a king that realized that many of the people, even many who claimed they knew God, really didn't understand God's Word. And I want to say to you again, my friends, that it's important for each and every one of us that we spend time alone with God every day. And so we find that Jehoshaphat, he felt that it was very important for his princes, for his Levites, and for the priests to give out the Word of God. Now today, again, we don't have those same categories, but we do become a priest when we come to know Christ as Savior. And, yes, the Spirit of God dwells inside of us if we claim to know Him, and we should get to know Him as well. And I want to say again that it's most important that you spend time alone with the Word of God. Now, particularly myself, I would have maybe argued this when I was younger, but I do find today that the best time to get into the Word of God is right in the morning, because you see, your mind is fresher and you're carrying it throughout the day. And, you know, you don't always get new thoughts particularly, but God will bless you as you listen to what He has to say. And so, you see, it's important to get into the Word of God. And so what we find that they did is that these priests, the princes, and also the Levites, they took the Word of God round about. Why, the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2 and verse 18, tells us this, that those idols that they had were teachers of lies. But here we find that they're teaching the truth. And the Word of God tells us, sanctify them with thy truth. My word is truth. It also tells us in the Word of God, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom, instruction, and understanding. Oh, that we might know what it is to follow the truth. And remember, we talked about it the other night when the Lord said these words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So here they went throughout the land, giving out the Word of God, so that the people, yes, would grow in the things of God. Now, as a result of this, Jehoshaphat, who ordered this done, why, the people, they loved it, and they began to send him presents. He got all kinds of things sent to him. They were happy that they had a king who was getting them back into the Word of God. There was a hunger for the Word of God. Oh, it's sad today because many places people don't have a hunger or have an interest to get into the Word of God. But the great thing, not only did Jehoshaphat become rich with all these presents that the people had sent to him in that nation, but also the other nations round about, they became fearful of them. Now, I suppose that most of you are aware that at this time in history that the kingdom was divided. We find that there was the 10 tribes that were two to the north, which is the kingdom of Israel. But King Jehoshaphat, he was the king of the kingdom of Judah, which was the two tribes to the south. But the other nations round about feared because they were going in the ways of God. Why, the Philistines, we read in the Word of God that what they did is they sent the king all kinds of abundance of silver. My, if you know anything about the Philistines, they were one of the enemies of the Israelites. And then the Arabians, another enemy. What they did was this. They sent 7,700 rams, 7,700 he-goats. They were fearful of what this kingdom was going to do because they were following the Lord God. Great fear came on these nations. Yes, King Jehoshaphat, he led them in the right way. Now, he was not a king that was a soldier like King David. Neither was he a king like Solomon, who was the wisest man that ever lived. But he was a king that feared God, and as a result, the nation went on well, and there was peace in the nation. Yes, there was no trouble. There was rest in the nation because he was walking in the ways of the Lord. Now, at the same time, he was a very wise man in the fact that what he decided was that he needed to have an army. And that was important to have an army because the enemy was still round about. And as you read 2 Chronicles chapter 17, you will find that there are five particular men that are mentioned that were the captains. And the one is particularly noticed, who was Amaziah. And this king, what he did is he gave, captain, he gave his life wholly unto the Lord. You see, this man not only knew God in a personal way, what he said was this: here's my life, Lord, take it, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Remember that scene that I showed you the other night? He knew what it was to die to self and let Christ sit on the throne of his life. And then, after he did that, why, the Word of God tells us that he also felt led of the Lord to join the army for King Jehoshaphat, and he was a soldier for his nation as well. Well, how that reminds me of the fact that each and every one of us, we are in the army of the Lord. If you know Christ as Savior, we're not on a playground. We're on a battlefield. Yes, and we are running a race. Oh, listen, my friends, that you might take it in that when you get saved, you are in the army of the Lord. And we read about armor tonight in three different passages. We read about it in Romans, where it says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the whole armor of God. Oh, listen, the night is soon over, we're going home to be with the Lord. How important it is for us to have on the armor of light. And as you read that chapter of Romans chapter 11, we find too that it's in regards to the fact of the lust of the flesh. And you know, how much we need to walk in the light. And the Word of God tells us this, that, that if we're claiming that we know Him as Savior, we need to have on the armor of light and let our light shine. And then we found also that there was the armor that we read about in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, where it's the armor of righteousness, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, and have on the armor of righteousness as we're going through the world. Oh, how much we need that. And 1 John chapter 2 tells us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. All the problems that the world brings. And so we find once again that with this, it says that when we're attacked that way, that we need to flee from those things. Why? It tells us about the lust. It says this, flee also youthful lust and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith. As it goes on in 1 Timothy, it tells us also that the love of money is the root of all evil. And because it is, that we need to put on the armor of righteousness because of the things of the world, that we need to flee from those things. And it tells us that in both cases, the things that have to do with self and the things that have to do with the world, there's many things we have to flee from. And so we find that there's the other armor, the third armor that is spoken about in the book of Ephesians, where it says, put ye on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand. And having done all, stand. And it says, therefore take unto you, yes, that armor, and we need to fight. Oh, because you see, not only do we have problems with the flesh and problems with the world, but we have problems with the devil. And the Word of God says that we fight against him. And so we need to have our loins girded about with the truth as we're running this race, as we're a soldier for the Lord, that we have our loins girded with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. Yes, and then the Word of God tells us that after that, we also need to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. How important it is for us to have that as well. And then it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Oh, I like that verse too, that when it says that we go forth and fight, it says, ye really shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord for you, for he shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And take the helmet of salvation, take the shield of faith, and I don't know what happened to my shield. It must have stuck behind. But take the shield of faith. I don't see I dropped it. And above all, taking the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Yes, this is our armor as we go forth to fight in the battle of the Lord. So we find that, yes, Jehoshaphat, he had an army. He saw the importance of having it, and he was strong in the things of the Lord. Now, basically, that is 2 Chronicles chapter 17. But then we move on to 2 Chronicles chapter 18. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 18, we find that this man who was going strong for the Lord, that the next thing that we read about is he decided to marry off his son, whose name was Jehoram, to a girl by the name of Athaliah. Athaliah, she was the daughter of King Ahab, and her mother, she was that wicked, evil woman known as Jezebel. And we find that he married his son, who he taught in the ways of God, to this girl that was even worse than her mother. And we find that he did this probably, I don't know for sure, the Bible doesn't say, but he probably did this thinking that what would happen is it would bring the two back together again, because it was a divided nation. And perhaps maybe he thought that by this marriage they could get back together. But you see, my friends, what he did is he had an unholy marriage here. It wasn't right. And the Word of God makes it very clear. Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Yes. What fellowship can you have? Or what is there? It's with light and darkness it is. It's a big difference. There's no fellowship there when you're married against God's Word. So they were unequally yoked. Now, the marriage took place, and how long passed by, I don't know, but the Word of God says that Jehoshaphat decided to go down and visit his son and his wife. He went down to do that, and when he went down, why, King Ahab heard that he was coming. And so King Ahab decided that what he was going to do was make a great big feast. Oh, he had several oxen killed and sheep. It was going to be a feast with all of the trimmings. And that's what he did. He made this great big feast because he thought, yes, now is his time to move in. And so after the feast was over with, King Ahab turned to King Jehoshaphat and said, you know, Ramoth-Gilead, which belonged to the tribe of Gad, which is on the other side of Jordan, it was taken away, and it belongs to us. The Syrians have got the control of it. And he said to Jehoshaphat, will you go with me and fight against them so we can get it back? And Jehoshaphat said, sure, I'll go. After all, I am like you are, and you are like I am, and my people are like your people, and sure, I'll go and I'll fight with you to see if we can get it back. Now, what he said was not true. There was a big difference. Once again, he was uniting in an unholy relationship. He was going to join in with this king, Ahab, to go and fight. Oh, it was certainly against the word of God. And not only was he joining in with him, but he was dragging his nation, his people in with him. And so we find that he said he would go and fight. And then we find that the two of them, King Jehoshaphat and King Ahab, they came and they sat outside the gate. And while they were out there, it was Jehoshaphat who got a little nervous, because he thought about it, and he said to him, shouldn't we inquire of the Lord? Well, you know, he was doing this the wrong way. What we need to do, my friends, is we need to ask the Lord about it before we make a decision. But here was a case where he makes the decision, and then he decides that they should talk to the Lord about it. You know, I know several people like that. They decide what they want to do, and then after they decide what they want to do, they ask the Lord about it. And so he said to King Ahab, should we not ask of the prophets? Oh, that will be a good idea, said King Ahab. He had no problem of having prophets. In fact, he had 400 of them right away. But they were not prophets of God. They were the prophets of Baal. And so these prophets came, and when King Ahab said, should we go up and fight against Ramoth Gilead? Why, they said, sure, go ahead. The Lord is going to be with you, and you will win the battle. King Ahab, he was happy to hear it. But King Jehoshaphat, he wasn't quite pleased. And so he said to him, is there not another prophet of the Lord that we can ask? Now, the fact that even thought that these might be prophets of God was wrong on his part to even give him that credit. And so we find that the king said, sure, there's another prophet, and I hate him. Oh, you shouldn't say that. Well, his name is Micaiah, and I hate him because every time I ask him, he always has something bad to say about me. And so, King Jehoshaphat wanted to hear what he had to say. And so, King Ahab sent for him. Now, these prophets, they had gotten together, and as they spoke, there was one of the men by the name of Zedekiah, who was one of the chief of those prophets. King Ahab sent a soldier or a servant to go and get Micaiah, when lo and behold, this man, Zedekiah, what he had done is he made himself a helmet with horns on it. He put it on his head, and he came before the king, and he said, what you're going to do, O king, you take a look at these horns. You're going to move in against them, and you're going to push those Syrians right back. You'll have the victory over this battle. And all the other prophets, they cheered and joined in with them. Well, that man that was sent to go and get Micaiah, perhaps a soldier, he said to Micaiah when he got to him, he said, look, all of the prophets are for the fact of King Ahab going to fight. Now, if you know what's good for you, what you need to do is say exactly the same thing. Go and fight against them. And Micaiah said, no way. Whatever the Lord tells me to say is what I am going to say. And so this soldier, what he did is he brought in Micaiah. And as Micaiah was brought in before the king, King Ahab said to him, "Tell me, shall we go and fight against shall we go there and fight against them?" And Micaiah said to him, "Sure, go ahead and fight." I suppose that he was saying it in mockery. And King Ahab knew that he wasn't saying exactly what the Lord God would have him to say. So he said, "How many times have I told you to tell me the truth and nothing but the truth?" So Micaiah said, "Yes, I have lifted up my eyes, and what I have seen was this. I saw all of Israel like sheep on a hillside, scattered. They had no shepherd. They had no master to rule over them, and they departed, and everyone went back to their own home. Didn't I tell you that he has nothing good to say about me? Didn't I tell you that he would only cause trouble?" And as the king was talking, we find out that Micaiah lifted up his eyes and also said, "What I saw as I lifted up my eyes to heaven, I saw the throne of God. And there was a host on the right side and a host on the left side. And the Lord God said to those that were standing round about, how shall we entice King Ahab to go up and fight against Ramoth-Gilead?" One suggested one thing, and then another suggested another thing. Different suggestions were made. And then it says that a spirit stood up before the throne. And this spirit that stood up before the throne said, "I will go and entice him to fight against Ramoth-Gilead." And the Lord God said, "How will it be done?" He said, "A lion spirit will be sent into the mouths of those 400 prophets of King Ahab." And then we find that when Zedekiah, the man who made the horns, when he heard what he had to say, he walked right over to where Micaiah was, and he slapped him on the face. And he said, "Which way did the spirit go? From me to you?" And Micaiah said, "You will see it." And the king spoke up and said, "Take him out of here. Take him out of here and lock him up and feed him with the bread of affliction and with the water of affliction until I return." Then we find that this man, Micaiah, said, "O king, if you shall see it, then I have not spoken the truth if you return. Yes, if you return and see the victory, you can be sure I haven't spoken the truth." Yes, but Micaiah was speaking what the Lord had said. Now, fellows and girls and men and women, he was locked up, and as far as that king was concerned, he didn't want a true prophet. No. He wanted him put away and let him be fed with the bread of affliction. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 20 says this, "Though thou shalt have the bread of affliction and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner, But thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way when you walk to the right hand, and when you walk to the left. What a great thing to know that we still have teachers of the Word of God. It's a marvelous thing to know that we still have teachers of God's Word. And I like that verse also that we find where it says, though the Lord gives you the a famine, though the Lord send a famine, as it says in Amos chapter 8, though there be a famine in the land, yes, there will be coming, though when the Lord sends a famine, there will be those that will wander from east to west. They shall wander back and forth, and they shall run to and fro throughout the earth to seek the word of God and shall not find it. Yes, the day is going to come that they're going to look for the word of God. I didn't quite quote that right, but it's in Amos 8, 11 and 12. That the day is going to come, yes, that the Lord will send a famine in the land. And it won't be a famine, that's how it goes. It will not be a famine for the lack of bread, nor of a thirst for water, but of hearing the word of God. And they shall wander to and fro, and they shall go, yes, from the north to the east, and then they shall also run throughout the earth, and shall not find it. Yes, even though they seek the word of God, they will not be able to find it. Oh, I think it's a remarkable thing that today we can have the word of God, but there's a coming a day when people are not going to have the word of God. And yet today, many people who have it, they don't even open it up to find out what it's going to say. And here was a king that did not want to hear what the word of God had to say. And so we find that Micaiah was taken away. The word of God says that the two men got ready with their armies to go to fight. And as they were going to fight, King Ahab said to him, he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to disguise myself. I'll look like one of the regular soldiers. But what you should do, you should go dressed as a king in all of your robes. And Jehoshaphat, he went along with it. He did what King Ahab suggested for him to do. So they went and the battle started. Little did Jehoshaphat know what the king of Ramoth-Gilead said. He said these words. He said, I don't care how many are killed. All I'm interested in is seeing the death of King Ahab. That's what I want. I want him killed. And so the battle had hardly started. And all of a sudden, some of the soldiers spied King Jehoshaphat. And because he was dressed up in the robes of a king, they were sure it was King Ahab. And so the captain of that segment gave the orders for them to surround him. There we find that Jehoshaphat was surrounded. And when Jehoshaphat saw that he was surrounded, he cried out to the Lord. Oh, it reminds me of Psalms 34:6, where it says, this poor man cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard him. It says also this. We read it in 2 Peter, where it says, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are opened unto the prayer. But the face of the Lord is against them. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. It's the same as Psalms 34 and verse 15 where it says, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, but his ears are open unto, and his ears are open unto their cry. And so the Lord heard Jehoshaphat when he cried out. Yes, the Lord heard him. And you know that lo and behold, what happened was that captain gave the orders to turn. It's not the king. And they turned away from him. Oh, it was the Lord that did it. It was the Lord that protected Jehoshaphat in a marvelous way. However, there was a man there in that group who already had his bow ready. He already had his arrow in the bow, ready to shoot when the order was given to turn. But this man, he decided he was going to shoot anyways. Oh, he wasn't aiming at anything. He was just going to shoot his arrow. And he did. But the Lord was aiming at something, because what happened was this, that lo and behold, that arrow went right through the harness of King Ahab. And he was sorely wounded. The blood began to come out. And as he was there in his chariot with one of the other soldiers, he said to the soldier, prop me up, prop me up, so I can see what's going to happen. He knew he was going to die. Oh, my friends, he knew he was going to die. And do you know, many times in his life, he had the opportunity, yes, he had the opportunity to receive the Lord. God had spoken to him through his prophets several times, but he rejected the things of God. Now, most people do not know when they're going to die. You don't know when you're going to die. I don't know when I'm going to die. It can happen real quickly, you know. Some kid some time ago said to me, Uncle Dave, you couldn't die in your sleep and not know it, could you? Oh, yeah, you could do that, I told him. You don't know when you're going to die. I don't know when I'm going to die. But you see, here is a case that the man knew that his life was going from him very quickly. And he wanted to be propped up in the chariot, but he didn't cry out to the Lord. Oh, no. He didn't cry out to the Lord. And the Bible says that when the sun went down, oh, listen, as the sun was going down, the light went out, and he was in eternal darkness. Oh, forever and ever, he'll spend eternity in the place called hell. Oh, how sad to think of that. This man had an opportunity, even right up to the end, but he didn't turn to God. Now, I want to make it clear to you. You don't know when you're going to die. You don't know how long you're going to live. I don't know how long I'm going to live. But you want to be ready when you do die. And the Word of God says this, that whosoever is not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be cast into the lake of fire. That's Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15. Now, fellows and girls and men and women, this is a marvelous thing to take in. That everyone, it doesn't make any difference who you are, everyone is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Everyone is. And what that proves to us is this point, that the Lord is not willing that any should perish. He doesn't want any to perish. He wants all to have eternal life. But when it comes to the end of your life and you die, if you've never received Christ the Savior, then your name will be blotted out. Oh, yes. It will be then when you die or when the Lord comes. If your name is not in there and you had an opportunity to receive Him like you got tonight, and you don't receive Christ the Savior, and you should die tonight, your name would be blotted out. Oh, the Lord wants to give you eternal life. Tonight, for you, it will either be heaven, or it will be the lake of fire. The choice is yours. Tonight, oh, I trust if you've never made that choice to receive Christ as Savior, that you'll do it before it's too late. Every eye closed and head bowed.